Welcome back to the Life Lately podcast. We are your hosts, Mel and Soph. Well, we took a bit of a break last week because, you know, life happened.
It sure did.
And, you know, as much as I've been hanging in there, I had a bit of a mini meltdown.
Oh, no.
I think something happened that broke, is it breaking the back of the camel's back?
The straw that broke the camel's back.
Exactly, that one. Let's go with Mel's
one. I think so.
So I think from a couple of weeks back, when we did the homeschooling episode, yes. I mentioned, I think, how I was finding it a bit challenging. And I probably was putting too much pressure on my daughter and myself to get things done.
Mm. Mm.
And I think in there I also mentioned that the school were trying out a new website for kids to get their learning. And my daughter was only taking like 10 minutes and she was, you know, she was so quick with it. And I'm like, this can't be right. But it's what they've said they'll try out and use. So after a week of doing that, I think it was last Tuesday, I thought to myself, I'm like, this can't be right. And, you know, I was just about to call the school to find out, you know, what's happening. When I decided, actually, let me check back on the previous website they were using. And you will not imagine that they had been putting work there. So a whole week and a bit had gone by and Mia had not touched any of that work.
Oh,
on the old other website. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm like, that's not what you said on your letter, though. You didn't say that you'd still use that one and you'll be putting additional work in the new website. You said you're trying out a new website, so check out this website and these are your login details.
Oh, no. So basically, that new website is additional
work.
Okay.
But that's not what they said.
Girl.
No. So I'm like, this is now pressure.
So now you're just churning and it's getting near to do everything double.
So I'm like, okay, we have to catch up. And I had in mind that Friday was a bank holiday and I didn't want her to be doing schoolwork on a bank holiday. So the plan was that she'll do her day-to-day work and then we'll do maybe one or two extra lessons just so that she catches up. And that was going okay until it didn't go okay. And there was a meltdown on literally all fronts. She was getting frustrated. I mean, I know it was a lot of work. I was getting frustrated because, you know, her time management is very poor.
For a night.
No, come on. Yes. No. I'm not going to excuse her because this was my deal. I said to her, class starts at 10 o'clock. She wakes up. She's an early riser. By 7:30, the child is up. My only expectation is for you to be downstairs for a 10 o'clock start. Because if you were going to school.
Yeah, it would be earlier.
Exactly. And she takes 40 minutes to get everything done on a school day, right? So I'm like, 2.5 hours is a mile. You know, I've given you enough time to live your best life in 2.5 hours. You know what I mean?
From bedroom to living room.
It's not a long distance. So, every day, man. And okay, I'm trying to teach her responsibility. Every day, she's late. Anyway, on top of that, and you know, Mel, I think you mentioned that when kids are home is when you realize that what your teacher was saying in school is so accurate.
Your sweet little darling.
Your sweet little baby gets distracted by everything. Everything. I'm telling you, like, because we told the teachers, we're like, we don't know how long these tasks should take. And they're like, an hour per lesson. Yeah. Okay, 1 hour. Girl, I give you 1.5 hours. We are still on page one. I don't understand.
Oh.
So on this particular day, she took 3 hours for one lesson. And I was just like, she clearly was frustrated. I think it was something that she was just not understanding or whatever. I'm frustrated because I'm like, do you realize we are over 1 week behind? When the week is over, they take some of the stuff down.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so you can't get it back in.
I'm like, I need this stuff done. So we both ended up like having a meltdown. She cried. I cried. My husband was caught in between the two of us.
Yeah, I didn't know who's to console first.
Who to console first. He's in between meetings. He's just like...
Oh, bless you guys.
Console the wife, console the child. Find out what's gone wrong. Find out how he can do better. And he just, he was just like, you know what, class is over for the day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't need class to be over for the day because I actually need class to finish. Oh, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah,
such a terrible day. And you know, I just was not able to get out of that kind of space. It stayed funky for some time.
Yeah,
it did. I mean, we you know, I tried to make up with her as quickly as possible. Of course, there's a time for her to go and think about her shizzle. I think about my shizzle. We come together, we hug it out, and we move forward.
Yeah,
but I think I felt a bit like a failure.
Oh no!
Like, how did I not know this was happening? You know, how did I misread this? Now look at the pressure I've put on my child. Now she's crying. And she's like upset. That, and she's behind.
Yeah.
So it was not the best time to record an episode of the podcast.
No, yeah, we need to take a little break.
But, I need to take a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that's the best. And to be honest, I doubt that you are the only one in this boat. You're not alone. I'm sure there's a lot of parents out there who's probably listening as well, who has at some point in this new quote-unquote normal that we're going through has had something similar happen to them. Where is this the pressure's on for both the parent and the child. And you know, it's just where things just come to a head.
But, a big one.
a fairly big one. But you know what? I mean, obviously, I'm glad you're out of this funk now and everything's easier to just, once you're out of it, or at least once you've had some time to actually look over it and, you know, reflect or think, okay, something could be done better, or it's not as big as, you know, all those sort of things. Because, I mean, obviously, I don't have children, so I wouldn't understand necessarily in that moment the pressure that is on for you as a mother, because you don't want your child to fail. You God forbid your child falls behind. But it's one of those ones where it's like, you know what, the whole world more or less is basically on a standstill, whereby in terms of education wise no one knows what's honestly going to happen. I mean, even if you continue doing the work, to what degree, do you know what I mean?
What degree has she learned?
Exactly. And okay, so she falls back, but how do you know other children? I mean, are the children working hard?
No, I can tell you that because...
We could tell what? Are they? Are they working hard?
No, they're not. Oh. They're not. Because I texted one of the mums.
Yes.
And I said, oh, you know, we are behind.
Yeah.
So she was asking me some question about the homework. And I'm like, I don't even know, girl, because I'm like a week behind. And she's just like, oh, you know what? Some of the other moms, you know what we are doing? We are only doing maths and English and the rest can wait. So literally, I am breaking my back to make sure she's done her PSHE. She's done RE. She's done music.
Yeah.
She's done humanities.
Wow.
And they are focusing on maths and English.
Alone.
Basically, you're doing maths and English. The rest can stuff itself.
The rest can figure it out.
Figure it out, man.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, it's just mad. I mean, it's just crazy. For all of you guys. And that's the thing. That's how everyone's going to cope and figure it out in their own kind of way. There's going to be some parents, as you've just acknowledged, that are only going to focus on, they're going to isolate other subjects and just focus on what they can handle. And I suppose it's that, isn't it? But it's all about also giving yourself a bit of a break as well as a Nia, break. Because this is probably pressure that she can't handle. She's not, even as you would think, when I was a child, I did this, that, and the third and blah, blah, blah. But I don't think Nia's got that tenacity necessarily. No. in her that you probably
I think that's part of the frustration.
Yeah.
That is part of the frustration. I'm like, listen, I grew up in Kenya.
Right.
I remember us having El Nino. Okay. You know, when it rains and things flood and all that, the roads are flooded. Right. And our roads were bad. You know, we didn't have like very well tarmac roads, had potholes and all that. We were in class at 8 o'clock every day.
Yeah.
So I don't understand this. To me, I'm like, this is sheer laziness. This is like a walk in the park. What is going on?
Yeah.
And sometimes I have to stop with my African, you know, mentality and be like, okay.
I know.
It's also okay just to chill.
It's also okay to chill. And you probably, it's time to chill because at the end of the day, this is not normal. This is what she was experiencing just a few months ago. So the whole environment is just upside down. So right now, it's like, I don't feel like work. Well, you never not feel like working, but definitely not feeling like working so hard.
No, and she's used to learning in a certain way.
Right.
And me, I'm like, this is how I was taught. So you do it like this.
You do it like this.
And then she's just like, I think my teacher is a bit more gentle and calm.
I know, this time, I know. But at the same time, I do get where you're coming from. It's like, okay, well, we just need to learn to adapt, honey. just need to learn to adapt.
Life is tough.
And that's the thing. And that kind of brings us, sorry, guys, I know we've been chatting for ages, but that kind of brings us to our topic for the this podcast, this episode. About you know, handling disappointments. I mean this whole time is a huge disappointment, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like 2020
is a huge disappointment.
I'm telling you, day of disappointment. We bought new diaries.
Man.
2020, the year. What was my plan? The year of vision or whatever.
Vision. Oh my god, 2020 having, vision. Can we just
2020 vision?
Did we see this in the podcast?
Oh no, it was nowhere in the weather forecast, man. Because if it was, we'd happily stay in 2019.
I know. My God, can we remember what 2019 was like and how fast we wanted to leave it? My days.
I know. We wanted to
leave it. We wanted to leave it behind. So
forward to the next decade. Oh, decade. We were putting our pictures up.
But you know what? I don't know if we've discussed this already in this podcast, but I just find that every decade, the beginning of every decade, there's always some sort of madness. I mean, I know we don't want to bring.
Oh, that's interesting.
No, but I mean, God forbid, of course, we don't want to bring up or drag up the past. But I mean, when it was, okay, 1999, 2000, 2001, wasn't that 9/11? I mean, shoot, that just set the tone for the rest of eternity. And that again was like, oh, coming out of the 90s, going into 2000, the millennial. Oh, this, that, the third. Is the world going to end?
Yeah.
This and that. So excited. And then, like, beginning of it, there's a humongous terror attack that just totally sets the tone for the rest of our lives. And then now, this whole, 2020, a blooming 2020, virus.
My year.
A blooming virus just tells us to shut the hell up and stay at home. My gosh.
Like, you have no idea what we have in store for you.
My days. I think, you know what? Mate, I think we just need... moments and just we get this whole new decade. Oh my days, I don't know. But I mean those are the big ones. So, but 2010, that's not really 10 years, just finished uni. I mean, yeah, it just kind of just happened. I don't quite remember any significance of that.
I can't even remember 2010. I don't think I can. I was pregnant, so that's all I can remember.
Lovely. See, there you go.
Oh, I moved to London in 2010.
See, new beginnings. There you go.
Yeah. I can't remember what else happened. But anyway, we had so many plans for
this year.
And of course, this major curveball.
Yeah.
You know, just has brought us to, I don't know what point we're in. I don't know if we realize that actually we are not in control as much as we try to think we're in control.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. So we thought we'd give a quick update on how we were going with our goals, those goals that we set for 2020, considering we are almost halfway through May.
It's true.
So Mel, how are your goals? Yeah, I'm starting with you, girl.
Oh my God, what were my goals? Oh man, my goals. Okay, so yeah, you're right. So literally it's this virus has happened and it's literally a reset button. However, one of the goals I think I remember setting for myself vaguely is just being in a better financial position. And I suppose, yeah, I guess I am. You know what? To be honest, I think I'm one of the few, the only maybe, that's actually enjoying this lockdown time. I'm actually secretly enjoying it. Because the first one is I'm actually able to save more, or at least not go into my savings, to dip into my savings when payday is a couple of days away and I'm totally broke. I'm actually not broke.
Yes.
Before payday.
You broke, but you ain't broke.
Okay, like going right into my savings and trying to like take out a slice £50 here or whatever to tie over before payday comes. So I'm actually being more strict, and I'm looking at actually thinking, oh, I don't actually need that. The whole shopping, that, like, you know, when people are shopping online, I'm not really, the first, don't get me wrong, the first 4 weeks of lockdown, yes, I was on that John Lewis website buying my candles.
Oh, yes.
I was, but I wasn't really buying clothes because I thought, okay, Mel, okay, I shouldn't lose my mind completely. Why am I buying clothes? I ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, you know,
we might be out of this lockdown come blooming Christmas. We might miss the whole of the summer. So what am I buying summer clothes for? No, I'm going to not buy clothes. But I did definitely buy skincare and I bought a candle or two. Because I must glow, honey, in this lockdown. But that was the first 4 weeks. That was a panic. 4 weeks. And then, you know, the second wave, so the next 4 weeks, the next payday, I haven't really bought anything as such, and you know, I'm actually praying for a longer lockdown secretly. No one hate me, no one jump on me. But seriously, I'll be honest with you guys. Yeah. I'll be honest with you listeners, okay? One thing you need to learn about me is, yes, I'm sociable, yes, I'm friendly and everything like that, but I like the space. I'm actually enjoying this social distancing. I really am, because it's really just, I don't know, there's a comfort to it. There's like, okay, respect my space, yes. When you go into a shopping centre, it's not overcrowded with people just coughing and doing and just this their breath all over you as you try and do your shopping. I'm actually good with that. And I don't miss the restaurants. I don't miss the bars. You know, I buy my cocktails in a tin from M&S and I'm doing just fine. So my life is good. Pretty all right. And to be honest, I know this is a totally veering off topic, but until I feel confident in the government, in the world, that we have this on lock, literally, in terms of what is this virus, not what this virus does, but what, and when I say cure, I'm not talking about vaccine, I'm talking about actually being able to maintain it or sort it out.
Yes.
And not a vaccine being the answer. But until you've actually got that lock and key, please don't let me loose to go back to work on public transport. I feel comfortable doing it. Psychologically, I'm not quite there yet. No, I don't think everyone else is. But so yeah, this has really helped me. As much as it is a disappointment, I'm trying to look at things as a positive. So when I say I'm actually enjoying this time of lockdown, it's because I'm choosing to be positive about it rather than, oh, I can't see my family, I can't see my friends, but I'm just not allowing myself to get into that headspace and just trying to, in terms of goals, in terms of managing disappointment, trying to just stay on track and be like, okay, how can I make something good out of this disappointment? Ooh, I can save more. I can stay on top of my goals or my financial goals, or at least supersede it in terms of the amount of time I gave myself because I'm not spending it on social stuff. So yeah, that's definitely something that I'm trying to salvage out of this.
Oh, that's good. That's good, Mel. For me, I think I started the year off with a bang. Woo! We all know that.
You did, girl.
Got my license. Week one of January, I had my license. And there was a goal attached to that. It was not just about driving. It was because I was planning to get back to paid employed work this year. By April.
Well, you know what, Soph? And you laugh. But you could do. You could do online stuff. You could do virtual stuff.
I know. Girl, let me tell you, the jobs I'd been looking at.
Yeah.
Not that I'm still looking, but were all taken down.
Oh, were they?
Like all the jobs I was going to apply for. Immediately this thing hit, they're just like, yeah, we've pulled the job. We've pulled the job. Of course, so many people are losing their jobs at present. And in a way, it could be a blessing in disguise because I don't know that I'd be able to work full time and homeschool. I mean, it's already stressful. I'm not sure how I'd manage both. So I'm in a way, I'm happy that things kind of worked out that way.
Yeah.
So that I'm fully present for my daughter.
And you're not having to juggle team meetings. I tell you, if I do another Teams Microsoft meeting, girl.
Zoom meeting.
Yeah, on Microsoft. In Microsoft Teams. Oh my God. Like, God. Trust me, a blessing in disguise for you. So.
Yeah. And so I'll take it easy. And when it comes, the driving thing though, it was a bit irritating because I'm just like, wow, I finally have the confidence to, I'd started venturing out of my little usual routine. I'd been on the A roads and all that. And then now I'm like, do I even know where the pedal is anymore?
Well, to be honest, why is the lane stopping? It's that this should be a positive thing in terms of the roads should be quieter. I tell you, I've been out, it's not quiet, but they should be quieter in theory.
No, they should be, but where am I
just going? Just go for a little drive.
And where am I going out there? You know, I did the other day. I just went to near school to collect something. I was okay. I was like, oh, okay, fine. You know how to drive, thank you, Jesus. That's...
They say it's like, you just get back on and you just remember.
Yeah. But because I had I'd planned to go and see my friends who were further out, and of course that is not happening really. And I'm a homebody, so leaving the house, why am I leaving the house if I don't have to be anywhere? Great, yay for the license. I have not used it much.
But just in case.
Exactly. Family wise, we had always planned to spend more time together. And clearly,
there you go, honey.
We are just here.
You know what? You are thriving in your goals.
That's what is being met by default. They really are. I can tick that for the rest of the year. We spent enough time together.
Oh my gosh.
Also, the one thing that I had not done really, although I had the time to do it, I don't know why I did not do it, was self-care. And I'm so, Mel and I and our other friend,
hey.
Hi, Mary. I think we've done this twice now.
Like
a couple of weeks, we kind of have a
pamper. It's so good.
It's Mel's highlight.
It is. It is. Yeah. We do a pamper session together. And, we just go full on. We have some alcohol maybe involved.
We just do
our thing.
Last week, we baked.
We all baked. Obviously, Sophie went the absolute healthiest way, and I did not. But
because that's part of my goals, man. That's my health was part of my goals for this year.
Protein balls. I made sugar packed brownies.
Come on, I made scones as well. I made scones. I made banana muffins. Remember that?
Yes.
But that kind of, I had a bath I've lived in this house for 3 years. I've never had a bath. I have a whole bathtub there with bath bombs and bath salts and all that. And so now I'm consciously taking that time to, every couple of weeks when we are meeting on house party.
Yeah.
That is my day. I'm taking the day off to look after myself, which has been great. But of course, there are many things that, for yourselves and even for us that have not happened because of where we are in life at the moment. And also it could be that just we feel like failures that about things that have happened or not happened in the past. So we are going to talk about how to move forward when you feel disappointed or you feel like you failed. And I think the first thing is to acknowledge and accept that failure or disappointment and not bury your head in the sand and be disillusioned about it. And be honest about where you are. My plans failed. That relationship failed. I am in debt. Whatever the situation is, I think the worst thing that you can do is pretend that it's not happening.
I think that I definitely do that though. I definitely, not necessarily pretending that it's happening, but I definitely just think, okay, I just want to find a solution. I just want to get over it, do it, sometimes. Or sometimes I just want to wallow in it.
So you don't tend to fit in your feelings? Because I sit in my feelings.
I do sit in my feelings as well. But
okay.
It depends on the type of failure, I think. If it's like a job failure,
yeah.
Like, you know, you apply for a job, didn't get it.
Yes.
I just think, screw you. And I just think, I hope your business fails. Me.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, I move on.
Oh, well, man.
They're lost. So then I just, you know, move on to try and get the next one. That's sometimes. Sometimes I will wallow in it, or, you know, I don't know. It depends. It depends.
Yeah. No, I've do you know what? And we'll come back to perspective.
Yes, there is that point.
But I've changed my perspective on some of these failures, like especially like work. And, you know, they put you on probation and all that, and you feel under pressure for the past 6 months or whatever. However, I'm like, hang on a second. Why am I the only one on probation? You are also on probation. Am I not like you? How about that? Yeah, like this is a two-way street. This is not just about me being the perfect
and it's doing employee.
You also need to show your colors and be a perfect employer. Like, I can also...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, sorry, get up and leave.
I can get up and leave. I don't have to stay here. So my mindset, in a way, has changed about, you know, working and the pressure I put myself on myself to find work. And actually, I should say at this point, you know, because work was one of the things that I wanted to do this year. And somebody actually approached me with an offer for work that seemed to be, it would have been a good job to do because ideal. I'd be at home. I would not have to try. It would be ideal. Exactly. And, but then I looked at the offer and I was just like, you know, like, it's not just about me being kind of quote unquote desperate to find work. It has to be the right work. And I have a voice in this matter.
And also your value, you know your self-worth.
Exactly. I know my value. And tell me that you're not able to meet me at the value I'm at, rather than offering me something that's like, I'm questioning, did you read my CV?
Yeah.
Clearly you didn't, or you ignored it. And because you seem to not have read it and ignored it, goodbye. I can equally do the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's how I look at work nowadays. But back to acknowledging and accepting failure. This is a recent thing. I think in the past I've tended to be like you. I just want to move on quickly. But I find like sitting with my feelings and checking in and coming to the bottom of why I feel the way I feel about that disappointment or that failure, it might be a big deal. It might not be. It might be that I'm making something out of nothing, really. In the grand scheme of things. just acknowledging that and accepting it in a way. I don't say for what it is, because I think you have to go deeper.
That's true.
But knowing that that thing happened, I think that's a first step. There's a quote that I like by C.S. Lewis, which says, "I have learned now that while those who speak about one's miseries hurt, those who silence hurt more." So I think there's power in giving that thing or speaking it out loud, and then it's there, and then we can deal with something. You know, when you cover up a wound, then you don't know what we're dealing with. Yeah, you have to uncover it at some point and let the doctor look at it, and then you'll be like, this is what's going on.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? The second thing is to be kind in yourself. Be kind to yourself and do something that, you know, lifts your spirits. So it's not just about wallowing and sitting in those feelings. You have to, you know, number one, I mean, no one is perfect. We get things wrong all the time. Things go pear-shaped all the time.
It's true.
There are swings and roundabouts about, you know, in life. And there's nothing worse than beating yourself, because trust and believe, there are many people who are willing to do that for
you. And just to speak on that as well, like two things. One, like words and thoughts are very powerful. Thoughts becomes things. And just as equal as you want to put the positive things out, like, oh, you know, I'm going to be successful, there's the negative things as well. If you keep on saying, oh, I'm rubbish, I'm a failure, guess what? You're going to be there. You're going to stay there.
Becomes self-fulfilling prophecy.
And then you just feel stuck. And as you said, you know, there's swings and roundabouts, everyone goes through it. But when we're down and when we are down in the dumps in terms of feeling, being faced with disappointment, and things not going our way, I don't know about you, Soph, but I tend to find myself looking at others who are successful and thinking, oh my God, they're just so successful. Like, why am I not there? Why haven't they, not necessarily haven't mm-hmm. they failed, but like, gosh, like, how come they're able to achieve it and I'm not, like, that kind of thing? And what have they got that I don't? Mm-hmm. And things like that, you know, it's just that self-sabotage almost. So, you're definitely right. Instead of doing that, as hard as it is, and about lifting our spirits and being kind to ourselves, like, there are times when you're not going to want to do that, but that's the most important time to do that. Where you don't feel like doing it. Sorry. Yeah. Where you don't feel like doing it. So, it's definitely something I've learned or I'm conscious of about myself. I don't always get it right because then you guys listening will think, no. God, she's perfect. Even when she's feeling like crap. No, not at all. I'm saying that. But, nope. but sometimes I'm just stay in my funk. And other times I just think, okay, I need to get out of it even though I don't feel...
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, I think for me, I think I've said this before, I'm a perfectionist. And so I can really get down on myself, like, this should be easy, so why can't you just do this? And sometimes it's not about perfection, but you have to also know when things are good enough. Yeah, it's true. Not everything has to be 150%. Sometimes, 98, 75 is fine. In the grand scheme of things, when you think about it, and I think this time when we are all at home and reflecting on our lives, I think for me anyway, I've come to a place where I'm like, some things people just have to deal with as good enough. Like, I'm not going to give you, I know you want 200%, but guess what? You're getting 50.
Yeah.
Yeah? And that's good enough.
That is enough. Yeah. So, yeah, as well as obviously there's acknowledging, accepting the failure for what it is, you know, but then also there's that time of taking time out. And yeah, there's definitely taking time out for reflection, asking yourself some questions, you know, like the lessons that have been learned from this, what you can learn from this. But in all honesty, the way that I have sometimes dealt with this moment and moving forward is I definitely just have to take that time out. And not even ask the questions yet. I mean, you might be at a stage where you're just not ready to even ask. Like, I find that sometimes my partner, whenever I'm just faced with this point, whether it be like not getting the job that I wanted or anything that I'm faced with, I'm just like really feeling disappointed and feeling like, man, I honestly thought I had this, but is this gone to dust? Now, bless him, he's so sweet, but he's definitely the sort of person where it's like, he just always has to have a solution. Always has to be like, okay, well, this is what's going to happen. This is the strategy. This is how we're going to move forward. Da, da, da. And sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to do that right now. I just want to take some time to just really just be. And I don't even want to reflect.
Yes.
I take the time out, but I don't reflect right now or anything like that. And that's sometimes the step that you have to take before you can really just gear yourself up and get yourself right to get back on that battleship, basically, because it's you know, you just have to try and regain some energy. Like, and sometimes even asking yourself the questions, you're just not ready for that kind of energy right now. You don't have the energy to do that. But so I definitely think there's a step before that in terms of the reflection side. But then once you have had that time out, and I would say also not to spend too long having time out, because, you know, at some point you have to get back up.
I think I'd say that having the timeout, which I completely agree with, is part of number two, being kind to yourself.
Yeah,
and just being like, not ready to do that something yet.
Different. Let's pack it. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So then you're ready to then ask yourself those questions. What could be quite difficult. But, you know, just really, you know, just asking yourself this question, because there are lessons. With every disappointment, with every setback, there are lessons to learn. And there's always some sort of positive that can come from it. You know, it's not the end. Until you draw your last breath. I know it's a bit morbid, but it's not the end. So,
it's not the end.
So, yeah. No. And what actions to take? What actions are you going to take? Are you going to take forward as a result of your feelings? You know, it's a case of, you don't want to overeat. You don't want to do anything negative, but just do the positives, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But on that point, actually, I tend to think of it when I'm feeling down in the dumps. I ask myself, okay, what am I, because I'm an overeater. I'm an emotional eater. Okay. So usually I head for the straight for the freezer.
There's always ice cream in your freezer. Good to know.
There's always ice cream in my freezer. Usually, and it does not actually come out that often. It comes out when I know I'm feeling a certain type of way.
I thought you were going to say in your freezer, there's always like frozen fruit. Because I've seen, because Sophie loves this. Because Sophie loves
always frozen fruit as well.
Oh, she's going to make it. I know.
Who wants a smoothie when there's ice cream?
Oh, here she goes, be healthy. I'm feeling down, so I'm going to make myself a healthy smoothie.
Said no one ever. I always have both.
But yeah, go on. But yes, it's ice cream.
Yeah. So, part of my reflection when I'm ready for it is now looking at the habits now that I'm starting to develop because I'm feeling some type of way. And for me, that will usually be like my healthy eating plan will just go out of the window. You know, Carl is my accountability partner and I'm like, Carl, make sure that I don't eat this. And then immediately I go and get it and I want to fight the day.
If he even looks at me, this is
the wrong way. Like, listen. Carl, make sure that you... I tell him, make sure I don't eat it. And then he comes to stop me. I'm like, listen, if you stop me from eating
this... I'm going to knock you out, man. Poor Isles is thinking that, mate.
Yeah. But I'm like, this action... My binging or whatever is impacting something else. So now I might have
exactly. I was literally thinking that.
Yeah,
and now like, and I feel gonna,
now I'm literally full steam ahead.
Down about that setback as well, same. And then another setback will happen on top of that. Oh my god, exactly. It's a vicious circle, isn't it?
It can be a vicious circle, and so you know when I do, I don't always do this, but when I do it, then I'm able to stop myself and be like, actually, okay, this didn't work. Fine, but let's try and make this other thing work. And then that kind of stops the cycle. I think part of reflection is gaining a new perspective on on the issue. It could be actually, like we said earlier, maybe you're making a mountain out of a molehill. Maybe because you're a perfectionist. And you think, you know, like me with the homeschooling, like we have to catch up. And I'm like, 95% of the population in school are not even doing half of the work. Here I am forcing my child to do all the work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, so gaining some perspective on that. Also, maybe there are new opportunities that can come about in that thing that looks like a disappointment. Or a failure. I listened to a friend of mine yesterday from high school who is in Kenya and runs like a catering business. And he caters but for big organizations like Ford Foundation and, you know, when they're doing movies in Kenya, he caters for them and all that. And of course, because of what's happening currently, all his jobs have been cancelled, right? And so... he, you know, of course, now he's thinking about business going forward. He has employees. He needs to pay people and, you know, there's no work. But then having thought about it, he's like, but I cook, right? People will always need food. There may not be big parties and all that. It may not be in the way that I am used to doing this, which is catering for companies. But I can cater for small groups. Like in Kenya, especially, they can still meet as smaller groups. So it's like, I already have contacts. Why can't I sell to smaller groups? Oh, people are looking for takeout deliveries and all that. Yeah. Why can't I deliver exactly. So his business model kind of had to change because of what's happened. Mm-hmm. But he's still in business because of a new perspective. And he's been able to pivot his business in a way that meets a demand that he hadn't thought of before or he was not interested in, but it's keeping his business afloat. So, so finding a new perspective on whatever this failure or disappointment is. If it's a breakup, like seriously, thank God you didn't marry that guy. Like, that's a new perspective, man. Like, when you look or back at children, you're like, "Ooh, Lord have child, mercy. If I went down this road with this person the way I wanted him, the way I was after this situation, like I'm so glad that it did not go down the way I wanted.
As frustrating as the breakup is,
Cloud.
For sure, every definitely.
Cloud has a silver lining.
Right? I agree. I mean, on the last note is definitely on that taking action. You know, we've spoken about, you know, being still, being reflective and things like that. But I would definitely say to move forward is take what I personally, moving forward, it has to be small steps. Like, you know, you've just had a setback. It's been quite emotional. and to only move forward is to take small steps. You know, restart thinking about your goals and whether it just be, you know what, this morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to get dressed and I'm going, that's my achievement, actually getting dressed. Sometimes it's literally just getting dressed, depending on the sort of setback or you know, disappointment you've been faced with, you know. Let's just start small with that. And then also, as you were saying, Soph, just about in terms of relationships, letting things go or make something completely new. Because I know in my past time of dealing with breakups, it's just about it. The reason why it lasted so long, this suffering, I suppose, is because I held on. I was just holding on, trying to make it work, to make the missing piece fit in the jigsaw puzzle that didn't even belong in that jigsaw puzzle. That's why I wasn't missing, but I spent so much time trying to do it.
Exactly.
And you do, like, when you had your heart set on something, whether it be a goal to have this amount of money by now or have a certain job or partner, and it doesn't work out that way, we do find ourselves spending too much of that time in that disappointment trying to make that very thing work, that very same model. And just like your friend in that catering business, he's been here for disappointment. He could have tried so hard to still contact those big businesses. It's not going to work because it's a different time right now. And so he did the right thing in terms of switching up quickly, letting that part go, if not for now, and making something completely new that is actually going to be equally, if not more successful. And I think that's definitely how to handle every, if not every, disappointment that we face, in terms of doing that. There's a time and a place to let go, and the sooner we let go, actually, the quicker we can get over that disappointment and recover.
The quicker we're able to recover.
So
On taking the action, and taking small steps, it's interesting that this week, actually, I think it was on Friday when in our group chat, me, you and Mary, she texted and asked, how are we doing on the bank holiday? And I said, I am thinking about a life
on the beach. My by life, the beach. By the,
what did I say?
Yeah.
On the beach. Sea. By the beach. Yeah. Because I've always wanted to live by the beach. And that came about because, again, I was looking at my goals and I'm like, you know, we were, as always, doing some work around the house. And we had been discussing, you know, like, we really needed to do our own suit because it's falling apart. Like, the toilet seat is broken. It's just madness. And it's a project that we've wanted to do for so long. And we've had so many setbacks. And we were clear that this was the year we were going to do it. And we were supposed to kind of start on it, like, in April. And then this happened. No. So nothing's happening, right? And so we're thinking about the bigger plans for our house. How long do we want to be here? So therefore, you know, what changes do we need to make within that time? And in my mind, I was like, yeah, we can. I mean, we can live here for life. I mean,
yeah,
it's a good house. It's a good size. You know, we only have one child. You know, and you know, when she goes to uni, she'll probably live for a few years or whatever, and the house is big enough for me, for myself and my husband. And you know, so we, you know, I go into it because I love interiors, so I'm like, we can do this and this and this. And then, I came onto my Instagram, and I think I was watching an IGTV, and when I finished with the one I was watching, something else just popped up. And I decided, looks interesting. Let me watch this. And this lady was doing, she's an interior designer, and she was doing a tour of her house. So I was like, oh, very nice. But, man, she lives by the beach. Listen, she lives the life. Oh, dear. And I sat there and I'm like, why am I here focused on my three-bed house here? As lovely as it is not the life that I've always wanted to live. I've always, and that has never changed. And I've been married going 15 years. I've always said, I want a life by the beach. And I thought to myself, but why can't I make that happen? Sometimes we just
limit ourselves, don't we? Limit our dreams.
Yeah. We've limited ourselves to that. And while the current house, I mean, yes, needs some work done to it, I said to myself, she's an interior designer. Okay. So I went on her page and, you know, was browsing. And then I'm like, she does a course in interior design. It's something that I've always wanted to learn. So I'm like, and from what I could see of how she had done, you know, I'm always skeptical about these online courses because some of them are just useless. But I'm like, she's a respected person in the industry.
Yeah.
I like what I see. She has a course. Here's an opportunity. I'm like, I'm going to learn interior design. So I signed up for the course. Signed up for the course yesterday. And I'm going to start on Monday and do that. I also, this is, I guess, taking those small steps, action steps towards a goal. I also just started looking for properties. I'm like, there's nothing that's stopping me. I may not have the finances to buy it right now, but there's nothing stopping me from looking. Who knows what I'll find? I might find a diamond somewhere. And I'm not saying it's this year, I'm not saying it's next year, but it's ignited something.
But you know what? And the reason why it's so important to start looking now is because, as you mentioned, that because you weren't before, you've totally not even forgotten about your dream of living by the beach, but you almost just didn't see that as a reality, or you didn't put that into your plan. So you're just now settling. You're settling into your three bedroom home.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
It was nowhere even. I'm telling you, I looked at my vision board. It was nowhere there. I'm just like, this is something I've always wanted.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. And then, so once you have that, and that's why vision boards, which we've discussed before previously on past episodes, but that's why vision boards are so important, because as much as you're not able financially or whatever position you're in, that you're not ready for it yet, it keeps it there. It keeps you focused. The Bible even says, write your vision down, make it plain, because if we don't, we just end up forgetting all about it. And all the other things.
We forget
things,
it and we do all the other things that we
care less about. But, you know, you remembering that you want to live by the beach. Hey, you're starting interior design. When you start working, you think, okay, so some of this is going towards this house or whatever. You know, the vision will always be there. So you're always working towards it rather than it not being there. And you totally, you're working for something else, something different. So, yeah, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I think this time can really be a time of,
new beginnings.
and reigniting something that has always been in you. When you think differently, when you have a new perspective, and when you see the silver lining.
That is so true. I like that. New beginnings. Wow. Beginnings. Well, that's note, guys, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Life Lately podcast. We would love it if you could leave a review and share this with your friends, as it would help us to be seen. You can also follow us over on our Instagram. Our handle is @LifeLatelyPod. And we'll be back on Monday with a new episode. So as always, thanks for listening. Bye.